So today's going to be our last day, Be'ez Hashem, on Bishul Av. And then the plan is we're going to skip Kuf Yudalad, at least for now. At least for now, we'll see how much time we have. And we're going to go to Kuf Tesvav about Chalav and Gvinas and Chemas Akum, which is a fascinating simin. And then I think we're probably going to skip even further ahead to Ech Shekelim and Kuf Chaf, and of course Kuf Chaf Aleph. And Kuf Chaf Beis. No, not Kuf Chaf Beis. No, we're going to skip to. We'll see. Let's take them one day at a time. But today, Be'ez Hashem will finish Bishul Akum, and then tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we'll begin Chalav Akum and Gvinas Akum. So we're going to skip one sitting. Okay, so let's begin the end of Simon Kuf Yud Gimel at least. We started discussing last time the status of raw eggs. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Daled, we saw Shulchan Aruch had said that Beitza Afapi Shuruya Lagoma Chaya, even though it could be eaten raw in Bishlo Chav Masura, it's not considered Nechol Kamo Shul Chai because it's not typically eaten raw. That's the Taz writes Hatam Da Achila Udeyad Chaki. Even though it's eaten raw, it's only eaten raw al yidei chak. And then in Sif Tesvav, tamarim hamarim ktsatz. If you have bitter dates, she'enem ne'echalim me'ela al yidei chak. They're only eaten al yidei chak. In Bishul Mechav Masurim, therefore they're going to be aser. So it's the same halacha, it seems, in both Sif Yudalim and Sif Tesvav, that something that's only ne'echal al yidei chak is not considered ne'echal kamo shul chai, and therefore is subject to Bishul Akum. So we discussed the Shach and how to read the Shach and Sifkat and Yutas. We discussed that last time. So he pointed out where this is most nogea. Lemaisa is what the OU has tshuvas on about cranberries. If you ever ate a raw cranberry, just a plain cranberry, it is very tough to eat a raw cranberry. It's very tart and very bitter when you eat a raw cranberry. In any form with which you consume cranberries, it's always with a massive amount of sugar to sweeten up the cranberries. Cranberries are very good once you have all that sugar, but it's with a lot of sugar to sweeten up the cranberries. So in the OU document, they write, is there a concern of Bishul Akum on cranberries? So Pashut Pshat, if no one eats cranberries raw, even though they're edible raw, it's not Chalei Dei Chak, it would seem to fit exactly what Sif Yudal and Sif Tesvav say, that it's subject to Bishul Akum, and therefore a cranberry sauce, is it all al Shulchan Malachim? Pashtus, yes. Cranberry sauce is always served together with turkey and with others, so it's something that's all al Shulchan Malachim, you would think. So if you're going to have a company that's making cranberry sauce, you have to deal with the Bishul Akum issue. So in the OU document, they write, they are used to produce cranberry sauce and pie filling, which seems to fit for Shulchan Malachim. It would seem that there would be no issue of Bishul Akum on cranberries made into cranberry juice, since the cranberry would be tufel to the water, just like the Taz and Yardei Kuf Yudal Aleph, and Shach Kuf Yudal Aleph say regarding barley used to produce beer. Again, we're going to skip Kuf Yudal for now, but when it's, we already discussed that in the context of coffee. Now, when it's mostly water and just there's a little bit of flavoring in the water from the item like the coffee bean or the barley, so that's not called a violation of Bishul Akum. However, questions whether they're edible raw or not. So Ocean Spray wrote to us as follows, and they quote, as far as we know, there are no problems associated with consuming raw cranberries. However, most people prefer cranberries in their cooked form. Cranberries are a very tart, bitter fruit. They're usually more enjoyable once they've been sweetened in some way. So even though cranberries are sweetened usually through cooking, they could be eaten without cooking, and they could even be sweetened without cooking. If you mix them with enough sugar, you could sweeten them without cooking, although that is very uncommon to do, to sweeten cranberries without cooking. So in the OU document, they said that they found two recipes that involve not cooking cranberries and eating them, sweetening them without cooking them. And then in the footnote, they actually give you the recipe. So if anyone's interested in how to make chocolate dip cranberries, you can consult the OU document and have a couple of delicious-sounding cranberry recipes. I don't know why that was important, but the point is that most of the time when people are eating cranberries, they're eating cooked cranberries, even though it is possible some people will eat raw cranberries because it's... It's very tart, and it's easier to sweeten when you're cooking them. So Rebelski writes, Kvar nimtzal kufsol shal cranberries eichla hachinam lachilas tari, v'yeshus mochal zevalana lahakal masha kosafta nechod. That as long as there is a way to make them raw, shalolag deitchak, meaning you're going to be able to prepare them in the raw state, where it's not going to be an eichla deitchak, even though that's not the way most people eat them. It's only a couple of recipes. Once you have recipes for cranberry, it's fine. It's not considered to be nechel. It's considered to be nechel kamo shulchai, and it's therefore going to be fine. So Shechter was very perturbed by this. He didn't think that this is correct at all. He says, "L'charet tzrichim levar im achuz ha'olchum osotari hu kol kach katan shin l'schashibo oshu achuz chashuv." He says, what percentage of people eat cranberries raw? You found two recipes online? But if 99% of the cranberries are cranberry eaters never eat raw cranberries and only eat cooked cranberries, you can't call that nechel kamo shuhu chai. And he writes, even though the maisa efshel kuliyavu lechel peros elu, you can eat them raw. But kol sibush makdin ruba duvin shalachem davkum v'shalim is because they want to add some sweetness to it. The easiest way to add sweetness to it is to cook it together with sugar, but the etzem abishul is not really necessary. But it also depends on what people normally do, what people normally eat. This I raised with Rav Shachter on Friday, the shaila that my brother had sent. Did I tell you it was my brother that sent? My brother has a hashkacha in Northern California, because there's not much there in terms of kashrus, so he had to do everything, meaning he built the mikveh, and he built the eruv, and he's like one of these, you know, he knows everything. Like all those classes, like in Smicha, they have like two shiurim on, and like he actually like learned all those sugyas. So he has a hashkacha. In fact, I got a shayla a couple of weeks ago. Someone sent me, you know, that people always send like a picture of a kashrus, what do you call it, a logo or whatever, and ask if it's reliable. I saw one with a sun and a K. I'm like, I don't know, I'll find out. So I sent it to a guy at the OU, and he sent me back. It's from Avi Leibowitz from Philadelphia. I didn't even know that he had a logo. I guess he hired a graphic artist. So, yeah. I'm like, yeah, don't trust that guy. In his apparently they have a company that what was it? Fish oil. They were making right fish oil. Is that what it was? And they wanted to know that they have to pasteurize the fish oil. So he was clarifying whether it's a bishul akum problem with the pasteurized fish oil. So Shabbat just said, I don't understand the question, because what do you eat? Meaning, if it's about the fish, it's a type. He said what type of fish it was in the shayla, and that type of fish is never used for sushi because it has all these parasites. So no one would ever eat it raw, even though it is. If you pasteurize it and get rid of the parasites, it is edible raw and could be used in sushi and would probably be delicious in sushi, but they'd rather use fish for sushi that they don't have to pasteurize first. So it's never actually used for sushi. Nobody actually eats it raw. It is edible, but no one actually eats it raw. So Rashab said, if it's about the fish, if you're worried about the fish, no one eats the fish raw. And if it's about the fish oil, those are always pills, and pills are not derech achila, so what do you have to worry about? So I started texting my brother, like, what are you talking about? And he's 3 hours behind, so he was in the middle of saying Daf Yomi Shir. So he didn't respond. And then as soon as I left Rosh Hashanah's house, he responded, are you still there? They make flakes out of it. It's not pills. And the flakes go, I guess, you eat the flakes. It's fish oil flakes that you put in your food, I guess. So it's actually nechal. It's not... So I got to ask Rosh Hashanah the question again about pasteurization. But be that as it may, the basic premise, of course, is that people don't eat it raw, even though technically it's edible raw, but 99% of the people don't do it. That's not called nechel kamo shulchai. So Shaftu thought that at first glance, that cranberries are not nechel kamo shulchai, and therefore should be subject to bishalakum. And then someone reminded him about craisins, that craisins are not cooked, apparently. That, or at least that's what they told him, and he says craisins are dried and sweetened with a lot of sugar, but apparently they're not technically cooked, and therefore he says Rav Belsky is correct that therefore cranberries are not subject to bishul akum because a significant number of people eat raw cranberries in the form of craisins. We should probably look into that. No, are craisins not the drying process doesn't involve any cooking? How do they just dehydrate it in some other way? Who's Google it, or something like that. How do they make crazy? I assume someone in the office, when they were dealing with this issue, I assume someone Googled it for Shepard, or the guy who gives the OU on the crazing company, probably, you know, an ocean spray or whatever. Although ocean spray, I think, is triangle thing, right? Is it? I don't know. I assume whoever gives the hashgacha probably told them that it's not cooked. Okay, so that's as far as the cranberries are concerned. I mentioned on the chat when someone called Rav Schechter in the middle when we were meeting with him on Friday and asked about taking lactate pills on Shavuos. The person was lactose intolerant and Shavuos Yev Milchiks. So the person wanted to know, can you take, is it a violation of Rafua on Shabbos and Yom Tov to take lactate pills? So he said, I don't think it's Rafua, but wait, I have three Rabbanim here, let me ask them. So it was just like, always a lot of fun. So I have his Wi-Fi password. So I was Googling and I found that the OU has a psak that you're allowed to take, that Rebelski possibly, that you're allowed to take lactate pills. So Shep said, I think it's mozzarella, I don't think it's a medicine. I don't think it counts as medicine, just helps you digest, I don't think it's a medicine. So I Googled it and now the OU had a psak from Rebelski that it's mutter, it's not a medicine. So I said, Rebelski says, he says, he tells the guy in the phone, Rebelski says that it's mutter. Then he hangs up the phone, he said, if Rebelski knew that I held it was mutter, he probably would have said answer. He said that every time he had a psak, and we see it in these documents, he said, every time I passed him one way, Rebelski either disagreed, or he said, I agree with him, but his reason is wrong. You know, it's for a different reason. So, okay, I didn't want to say, but you won every time, because every Gnack is on your team, but, you know, I didn't want to go there. So moving along. So now we get to Kalim. Kalim is a fascinating, not just Kalim, there are really two issues in Siman Tazayin. There's Kalim, and there's what if you were Mevashel for a Chola on Shabbos, and does it become Bishalachim? Right? That's the issue of the Ramah. So first, as far as the Mechaber is concerned, Siman Tazayin. Kalim Shabishalim will become Fanenu, Dvar Mesheshvam Mishum Shulev Bichavim, Tzrichim Hechshim. V'yeshomrim She'enim Tzrichim. So pretty basically, Machlokas Ra'ah and Rashba, Taras Habayis, Bedek Habayis, whether you need to kasher kelim where you had Bishal Akum. So the svar to be makel is that there's no Bishal Akum on Blios, because there's no concern of Chasnus on Blios. The Rashba, though, assumes that it becomes a Chefza Macholos Asuros, and therefore the Blios are Macholos Asuros as well, so therefore it's going to ask for the Kalim. So this goes back, that same discussion, right? Is it does it become, is Bishal Akum a Chepsa Macholos Asuros, or it's only a Chashash Chasnus in the Gavra, right? We've had this Machlokas as far as if you take, if you bring food from a place that's Olal Shulchan Malachim to a place that's Ein Olal, you bring it from a place that's Einu Nechol Chai to a place that is Nechol Chai, or the guy cooked to Machol Ben Jusai, and then you do more cooking. So all of these machlokas seem to be tied into the same issue, and that is, do we assume that Bishal Akum becomes an Isser Chefza Machol Suros Bashar Rusham, and that's it, and it can't be changed? Or it's not a Din Machol Chefza Machol Suros, it's a Din in the Gavra, with obviously some nuanced differences between the cases that we just listed. So that's so the Shulchan Aruch tells us two deos, and in general the rule is stam v'yesh, the halacha is like a stam, and therefore the chaurah yishakasha kelim that were used in Bishal Akum. But he says because there is a significant sheet in Rishonim, otherwise we could be makel on the method of kashering kelim, since the sheet of the Bali Itter is that klicheres only need hagalagim upon him, that you don't have to, I mean, we generally assume the halacha that a klicheres cannot be kashered. We'll learn about it. They have to throw out a klicheres. There's no, it's any ultimate definitely all of it. It's never going to, the blios are never going to emerge from the klicheres, but since there's a sheet of the Bali Itter that you can do hagalagim upon him on the klicheres, you can be mistired, the sheet of the Bali Itter, with those who hold that the kelim don't become treif in the first place. So, and then the other kula is that you don't have to wait for them to be Eino Ben Yomo for this kashering, because Bishal Akum is definitely Batal Barov, and the only reason to wait for something to become Eino Ben Yomo is because it's going to be Tam Keikar, and it's not going to become Batal, and it's going to trafe up the Kli Viter if you kasher within 24 hours, but you don't have to worry if it's going to be Batal Barov, meaning if the Tam is going to, the Blios are going to come out into the water and become Batal in the water, so it's not going to ask for the water, it's not going to Viter trafe up the Kli, so you can kasher the Kli even within 24 hours. Then the Shach in Sivkatan Chaf Aleph, the Shach in Chaf Aleph adds, Vimispashal then b'diyeved v'yeshrov b'tavshil shari divishul erichavim b'telim b'rov. Like we said, Bishul Akum is batal b'rov. So b'diyeved, if you use the kli, we assume that there's more in the kli than there are blios. Mela, it's going to be batal b'rov. Then there's another issue over here with Shach raising Sivkat Chav. What if it's in your house, right? Meaning, we had a machlokas earlier in Sif Dalid, right, about the base of Shal Yisrael. So what do we say in Sif Dalid? Yesh mishamati b'shvacho shalanu v'yesh mishalosu afilu b'diavad. So you have the whole discussion about Shvacho shalanu and about base of Shal Yisrael, and the Ramah put the three kulas together, that it's Shvachos and it's base of Shal Yisrael and it's Iyav Shal Yichata, that you could be making in such a case. So what happens if the housekeeper is Mevashel in a kli? Does it become a violation? Does it become a problem of Bishul Akum? So some poskim want to suggest, well, it can't be, because we could be mitzari. If the Mechaber is willing to be mitzari, if the Bala Iter to the Shita that there's no problem with the Kalim, to the Shita of the Ra'ah, so then we could be mitzari based on Shal Yisrael to the Shita of the Ra'ah. But the Shach says not so fast. The Shach makes an important chiluk over here. Right? The Shach writes that the Aval Pisha Bishla Bebeis Yisrael in Bishla Li Atzma Garat Fen. If she cooked her own lunch in your Kalim, then it's worse. You don't have the heter of Beis Shal Yisrael. Are you going to tell me what difference does it make if she cooks for herself, she cooks for you, if the whole svara to be mekil when it's based on Shal Yisrael is because Yevshah Shal Yichata, that for sure one of the Bnei Abayis is going to be Mechata? So he says, I'll tell you what difference it makes, because when she cooks for herself, the Bnei Abayis will leave it alone. They're not going to be Mechata. They'll only be Mechata if she's cooking for them. And anyway, if you don't hold to that chiluk that the Torah Schata says, and you hold that the real chiluk is just a matter of how much korva there is, so if she's if she's working for you, if she's working for you and that's her job, so it's not a sense of korva that's created, as opposed to it's not her job, she's just stam cooking, so that will create a sense of korva, so then there's a lot of makom to be mechalik. Then if she's cooking for you, so then you that's her job when she's cooking for you. So then there's room to be mekel perhaps. But if she's cooking for herself, she just stam wants to make herself lunch in some of your kalim, much less room to be mekel, and therefore maybe you should have to kasha the kalim. So if you ask different shul rabbanim, you ask shul rabbis, if Bishul Akum happened in one of the kalim, you know, the woman made herself lunch or something, so yesh v'yesh. Some rabbanim will say, that's okay, you can rely on the day in Shulchan Aruch that it doesn't need hefsh kalim, even though we have pasnag the day with the tzidah for Beis Hoshay Yisrael, Shvach HaShalanu, you know, they'll rely on that chiluk against what the Shach says. Some will say that, no, you got to kasher it. We pass you, you got to kasher the kalim. And some will make the chiluk that the Shach makes, that it depends. Who is she cooking for? Was she cooking for herself, or was she cooking for you? So that's part one over here. That's as far as the kalim are concerned when it comes to Bishul Akum.
We don't allow
the chachila to just let her cook in your kalim?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think what they recommend is if you have a live-in help, give her her own pot, say this is your pot, and that's a trefa pot, she'll use it for milch, fleshig, whatever. I mean, what they really recommend is don't have her cook at all. Just say the kitchen's off limits for you, whatever you need, we'll take care of it. It's a lot harder, because if the whole point to hire her is because you're not around, if you can, you do that. I mentioned to you, there are many Gedolei Harabang that won't eat in a home that has live-in help because of the unfettered access to the kitchen and who knows what's going on. But the second best recommendation, other than just no access to the kitchen whatsoever, is that you give her own pot. This is for you, for your own food, whatever you need to warm up for the baby, just take already cooked food and warm it up in the microwave. But for your own pot, this is for your own, you know.
We were talking about waffles in a hotel. Where we were saying it might be an issue because of the kalim. The Shulchan Aruch uses the word lefaneinu. Would that make a difference if you didn't see the people do the?
Yeah, why does he say lefaneinu? Shabishal b'emot v'tchavim lefaneinu. I was wondering about that word. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? Are you looking at the tour? Does someone know? Okay. Let's see. In the tour, the Kasav HaRashba, V'chein kelim shebishlu behem goyim, dvarim sheyesh ven mishum bishulei goyim, asurim, doesn't say lefaneinu. Yeah, where did the word lefaneinu come from? Oh, Beis Yosef quotes. Torah Sabai Sarah, the Linian Kalim Shabishal Bahamagoy lefaneinu, Dover Shay from Shabishal Goy, Mistavish Sukhash, Kulshah Sukham Platasa Kamo, a few of Shmavishal Gid, Dain of Alamimina Kadoshin, also Tara Vasavim, etc. I don't know, what does the word lefaneinu mean in that context? Why does that feel lefaneinu? I guess the point is that maybe the point is just that you don't have to worry about Machalas Asuros. So you saw that she only put in kosher ingredients, otherwise you have to worry about kashrus. Maybe? Yeah, makes sense. We'll go with it. Probably check Chalkas Binyamin, I don't know Chalkas, you know, he normally has, he counts for every word. Then there's the Ramah. The Ramah has a separate issue. Ovi kam shabisha l'chola b'shabis, mutu l'mosayi shabis, afilu l'bari, ve'ema mishum shalei l'chavim, the Cholki Agavna Hekera Ika. So this is the Ramah. This is the Ra'ah, rather. The Ramah's paraphrasing the Ra'ah. It's called in Bedek Abayis. That the non-Jew is cooking for a sick person, so there's a Heker in such a case, and therefore there's no Chashash Kirva. So if you look, this is in fact a Machlokas. Right? Meaning the Ra'ah says like that. The Ra'ah writes, Afani Yomer, Shanochi Shabala Vashal Chol, Vuhuba Shabbos Bizman Ha Osulonu Lavashal, Shalo Osu Mishum Bishul Enochum Klal, Tolo Shayachachum Mishum Chasnus, Velo O Del Shemutu Labari Mosai Shabbos. Meaning what he's saying is it doesn't even become a Chabs of Machalos of Bishalachim. It's not even called Bishalachim. It's Heter Gomer. So since it's Heter Gomer, even a healthy person of Mosai Shabbos is allowed to eat it, right? That's the Ra'az Shita. However, the Rashba, the Mishmeres Abayit, Hatam Shematzad Bishulei Ovin Chavim L'Chol B'Shabbos, Ein Lo Lo Tam V'Lo Reyach V'Lo Ama Taim Obo. He says, I strongly disagree. D'Mai D'Kamar, so because the Rosh says, D'Kivin Shu B'Yom Sha'asu Lo Anu L'Vashal. It's on Shabbos where we can't cook, and therefore less famous from Chasnos, and therefore there's not going to be a concern of Chasnos when I can't cook. Says Adra, Kol Shi'ef Shal Lachola Ela Ali Dehov Dikulum Vod Dikulum Osi Imotova Kol Shi'ef Dikur Kruvi Dai Tetzvei. Says Rosh Hashanah Kevin. The Ra tells me, no, there's no Chashash Chasnus when he's cooking for me on Shabbos, because when he's cooking for me on Shabbos, I can't cook. I don't even have the option of cooking. So that's not Chashash Chasnus. It's desperation. It's not kurva. It's desperation. Says Rashba, exactly, and that's why it brings you even closer, because you really need him. You don't need him to cook for you on Sunday. You really need him on Shabbos. So it seems that the Ra'ah holds that the basis of the concern of Chasnos is the fact that the Jew is showing that he's enjoying the Bishalachim. How do I show that I enjoy it? I could have had my own meal. I could have cooked my own meal. And yet I chose the meal of the guy. So that shows that I really want and I really enjoy the Bishalachim. Whereas the Rashba understands, no, it's how badly do you need the guy? How connected are you to the guy? How desperate are you for what the guy is offering you? And if the Nachri is offering you something significant, then that's going to be a Chashash of Chasnus. So that's the machlokas between the Ra'ah and the Rashba. Now, over here, the Ramah is pretty clear. Then he paskins like the Ra'ah. If you take a look in the Nosei Kelim over here, take a look in the Taz, in Sifkat on Tesvot, Eilin Divrei Aran B'Shem Ra'ah Hivim Beis Yosef. Yinei, B'Sefer B'Dek Abayi Zorah Da Feit Es Chazal Gam Kenachi, Obal Mishar Sabayi Shua Rashva Kosovo Zeva Chalila Vachas! Shlo Hu Drepi Lechol Atzmo El Beis Asor Gvavad Dahainu B'Shabiz. Hol Mosai Shabiz Chazal Yisuro. Then the Rashba says, no way! It's Bishalakum. The Chol is allowed to have it on Shabbos because we're matter Bishalakum for a Chol on Shabbos, but it's still Bishalakum. And even the Chol is not allowed to have it after Shabbos. Kol Shkei Bari, for sure, a healthy person can't have it after Shabbos. The Dumbledore Nevela, the Cholashir Shlosh Sakran, the Mustar Sol Shabbos. The Hibriyasis, the Kol Tikkun Rabbanan, can't arise to Tikkun. So it's clearly there's all Din Drabbanan, right? Because a Cholashir Shlosh Sakran, normally you're not allowed to violate Din Drabbanan. I mean, Machal Sasur's Midrabbanan, but Bishalak Midrabbanan we're going to allow. So it's just like a Nevela for a Cholashir Yeshbal Sakana, where the halacha is if the guy's healthy, he can't keep eating Nevela. You can't say, oh, he was allowed to eat Nevela for lunch, so let him have Nevela for dinner. No way! Udvar Nechonim. Yeah, that means Raya from Pasfalt, fine. Udvar Nechonim. So comes along the Nekuda Sakesef, and he writes, oh, on the Raya. Yeah, we don't have to get into detail. So what emerges is that the Rama is Mekel, the B'Shem the Ra'ah, the Taz is Machmir B'Shem the Rashba and agrees with the Rashba, and the Shach and the Kudus HaKesef seems to be noted to the Rama. So the Gra points out that this seems to be the totally in the same Machlokas in the Machaber, whether the Isser is an Isser Chefs at the time of the cooking that can't change later, or is situation dependent, right? Meaning if you hold that it's an Isser Chefsa, so at the time of the cooking, so whatever happens at the cooking is what it, is what stays. Whereas if you hold that it's not an Isser Chefsa, then it could change. Then it could be Asr now and it could be Mutter now and Asr later. It's not so clear that that matches up perfectly, because over here you could argue that everyone agrees that it's that, well. No, okay, well, yeah, that meaning the Gra, where's that Gra? That Gra is in Os Mem Beis. Ovid Chavim, Ken Kosovara, Ukishitaso, they're called the Loshay Chasus Mutter, Avalarash Machalakla. What does it mean, Kishitaso, the Loshay Chasus Mutter? It means to say that it's not a din in the Chepsa, it's really a din in the Gatha. So whenever there's not going to be that Chashash of Chasus, it's going to be Mutter. Whereas Rashba says, no, it becomes a Chepsa of Macholos Asuros, and in Okinami, we're willing to be Mekel of the Macholos Asuros in the case of a Chola. Now the problem is that there seems to be a Stira in the Mishnah Brura on this issue. In Mechz Eliyahu, Rav Falk points out, it's not just stir in the Mishabura. There's a stir in the Chayadam, there's a stir in the Aruch HaShulchan, and there's a stir in the Mishabura. But let's at least just deal with the stira within the Mishabura. What was that going on? Anyone see when that popped up? They would have to catch these kelim. I mean, the kelim that I'm not sure David is still there. Okay, so the Mishnah Brura, there seems to be a student in the Mishnah Brura as follows. Mishnah Brura writes in Siman Shin Yilchas Sivkat Niralev, Asr b'Shabbos, that it's Asr t'ir b'Shabbos, Abba Mosai Shabbos Mutter Miyad, V'lo b'Yinu Zabit Desh Yasa, U'ti'ima imatav shel Yafa b'Shvil Echol, Mutter Gam b'Shabbos. So he passes like the Rama, that whatever a guy cooks on Shabbos, there's no Isra b'Shalachim. But then in Shin Chavches, Sivkat Samach Gimel, says the Mishnah Brura, Chol Hashem Bal Sakana, Mutter B'Bishulei Ani Yehudi, Chol Hashem Bal Sakana, Kerab D'Shalakum, B'Av, Gav D'Shari Yisuri D'Rabban, Asu L'Chol Hashem Bal Sakana, Lechol V'Lishtos, Kedis V'Yar D'Yisim Kufnun, Hey, even though my Chol Hasasurus Midrabban, and you're not allowed to feed, to Chol Hashem Bal Sakana, Shani B'Shulei Ani Yehudi, Sheni Suri Machmas Atzmo, but Bishlakum is not really an inherent iser. V'gam hachol mevarich lav debet herikachel, and he says a bracha because he's eating it beheter. Umash initial matzoy Shabbos aser afilu l'chol atzmo. Kivin shavshel levashelo oz al yidei Yisrael. That's going to be aser even for the chol himself, because then you can have bishul Yisrael. V'akelu shel bishul yani yudim shichem hechsher. V'afilu klicheras kivin dikri surah inu al midrabana dayu magilu gimel pamin. Ubidiyavid and Bishal Buliagol of Yeshrov Batavshul Mutter just quotes what we said about the Kalim in the first part of the Sif. Vyesh Makilin Dain Srichan Akshar Klal Vasomikin Kalushul Kholim Shabbos Oyevsin. So what the Mishabura does is says, wait a second, we have two machlokas here in Sif Tezayin. Number one, do the Kalim become trained? Number two, does the food that was cooked for the Kholan Shabbos become trained? He says, I'm gonna be machmir on the food, but in the context where the guy cooked food for the Cholah on Shabbos, I'll be making on those kelim. Meaning, I'm machmir on the food and I'm machmir on kelim. But when you can put the two together, I'll be making on the kelim, that the guy cooked food for a challah on Shabbos. Yeah, clear? But you have a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. Because on the one hand, the Simchat Shin Yuchas, the Mishnah Berurah said very clearly that it stays mutter even after Shabbos, like the Ramah, like the Ra'ah, and then Shin Chavches, all of a sudden he jumps ship and he goes like the Taz, like the Rashba, that it's going to be Yasser Matzai Shabbos, even for the Chol himself. So what do you do with the steer in the Mishnah Berurah? So in the Sefer Torah Seyoledes, which is Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, it was Rav Zilberstein's first Sefer. Now every time he sneezes, another Sefer comes out. But it used to be that he had one Sefer. The first Sefer he had was Torah Seyoledes. So in Torah Seyoledes, it's a beautiful Sefer of all the halachos of childbirth. He did a lot of research. It was a very, very well done Sefer. And in Sefer Torah Seyoledes, Perek Lamites, footnote Tes Zayin, he's Miyashiv the Stira as follows. He writes, "Shebesimin shidilches ari bibishol goy kamos ochel kafi ador shulchol v'lo yosef." In Shin Yuches, he was talking about where you cook exactly what the chola needs. Ela shebe mikre lo gamra achola. It just happens to be that the chola didn't finish. So that's what we could be making, that since it was all cooked for that chola, and there just happens to be a little leftover, so you can eat it on Motzai Shabbos. Shin Chavches is talking about where they cooked extra, and they knew there was going to be extra. So if they cooked extra, they knew there was going to be more than what you needed for Shabbos. It turns out that it's like Bishalachim during the week, meaning it's not going to be more kal than Bishalachim during the week, because he knew that some of what he was cooking was not going to be needed on Shabbos. So that's, that should be just the same as Bishalachim during the week, and that should be mutter.
So then why are they kalim?
Says Rafalk, that doesn't make any sense, because then why in the world would the Mishmur be made on the Kalim? Meaning the Mishmur says, I'm not smear on Kalim. But, what the guy cooked, the Kalim that the guy used to cook the food on Shabbos, since that was bad, I'll be making on the Kalim. Why should we make on the Kalim? It should be at least as bad as the Kalim during the week, as Bishalachim during the week. So Falk does not like that answer. And he says, you know, we don't have to invent an answer over here. This is explicit. The son of the Chavetz Chaim has a famous comment where says Ulam before some ba'olam asher kasa b'na agon ravar yaleiv zatzal simen shin yuches kasa v'ches chavetz chayim ba'atzmo simen shin chavches kasa b'na. In the Sefer Kitzur Toldos Chavetz Chayim, page Membeis, is Yadua, Rishat always likes to quote this, the son of the Chavetz Chayim writes that the Chavetz Chayim didn't write the whole Mishnah Berurah. It was a family, that some families like play Monopoly together or whatever. And the Chavetz Chaim, they got together and they wrote the Mishnah Berurah together. So this son-in-law wrote that section and this son wrote that section and they wrote different parts of the Mishnah Berurah. And he says, and therefore, if you find stiras between one part of the Mishnah Berurah and another part of the Mishnah Berurah, don't go crazy trying to be Miyashi. Sometimes there are arguments in families. Again, sometimes families argue about Yankees and Mets and some families argue about Bishalachim B'Motzai Shabbos. So he said, "This is, and what example does he give of where you're going to find the steer in the Mishmur and you're going to drive yourself crazy to find the Yishuv?" He writes, "Im ki ein ma'amari miyuad l'chidushet Torah, rak l'taro l'sapel l'dar divrei yimei avi." He says, "I'm writing a biography over here, so I really don't want to get involved in learning right now. But avo b'kein, ayir b'kana sakori atarani, ki b'shil shak savim lo yotzu tamid ma'at, me'eit achas, not ma'at, me'eit from one pen, nimtzu l'fam stiros, sharava m'chaber lo'amad aleihem." Sometimes you'll find stiros that we were never miyashi. And he writes, "Iron mishmur shin yuchesiv kan yudalid shakasav al masoy shabbos mutar miyad. Ubisim shin chachesiv kan samach gimel kasav mashrish al masoy shabbos asher vi lechola atzmo. V'siva sadover hu shesim shin yuchesiv miyisodo shal mar abba. V'hu achaz b'shita sara'o kumo shetik ramo yardei asim kuv yugimel ha'alacha. Sim shin chachesiv kisav yodi. V'anochi atakti la'alacha shita sarash v'shecholek al ra'a. Ein shom sof sim kuv yud gimel betazim kuz kesef for pri chadash shkriya karashba v'chein hela b'chayyada. He says, I passed like the chayyada, my passed like that, and my father passed it otherwise. So it's a machlokas between the Chavetz Chaim and Rabbi Yalev, problem solved." So Rav Zilberstein wasn't aware of this. Rav Zilberstein has come up with some shveri yishuv. So Rav Zilberstein writes, Chazanish didn't like this idea of being that there are going to be steers in the Mishnah Berurah. Couldn't imagine that there would be steers in the Mishnah Berurah. I don't know, the Min HaShemayim, if there was going to be a Sefer, that was a Sefer Shalim, that was Mekubal, it couldn't be that there were going to be steers in the Mishnah Berurah. In fact, if you look in the, Double Luchzen Zin puts out Mishnah Berurah's, like, it's like Yeshu on steroids, it's like, he has in Hilchos Shabbos, like two big fat volumes. It's called, I think, Mishnah Akrona. Anyone know what I'm talking about? So in the introduction to the two volumes in Shabbos, they write that they asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky about being Miyashev Stiras in the Mishnah Berurah through this, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, no, you can't say two different authors. I mean, this isn't the Chumash we're talking about, right? He said, you can't say, and we know there are two authors, but he said, you can't say there are two different authors. That's not the way to be Miyashev Stiras, and you have to come up with that, with actual Tiruts. Shabbat thought, I mean, you could trust what the Chafetz Chaim's son writes. He writes, I wrote it. He tells you that he wrote it. But at least over here you can, where it's not just the example that he gives.
Why could you do that? Meaning, if he knew that his father held like the Ra'ah, why was he doing Ma'at?
If you Avu B'no, Rav Talmida, you know?
That's putting the Chafetz Chaim's name on the safer, meaning.
Yeah. The Chafetz Chaim was the general editor. Yes. Yeah. Now, he also points out in the Tshuvas Matz Eliyahu that it seems to be a quasi-stira in the Ramah also. Because the Ramah, paskens like the Ra'ah, as we saw, right? The Ramah says very clearly that it's not a chetz of bishlakim b'chlal. It's mutter for anyone to eat on Motzai Shabbos, even for a healthy person. Because hekeira ikar, right? And yet, in Shilchav Ches, if you're testing Arachayim, the Mechaber writes, Cholashem Bosakana, Mutr B'Bishulei Akum. That a Cholashem Bosakana is allowed to eat Bishul Akum. And the Ramah doesn't say anything. So you say, what kind of steer? It's not a steer. Right? He says over here it's Mutr, and it's even Mutr Matzai Shabbos. And over there, the Mechaber says that it's Mutr, B'chol to eat Bishul Akum, and therefore it's fine. So it says Rafalk, no, you gotta realize what the Mechaber is saying over there in Shilchav Ches. He's not just saying that if a chola is hungry and he needs to eat to feel better, that you're allowed to now have a goy cook for him. He's saying that if a goy cooked on Friday or on Thursday, there was something that was mamish bishlakim. That the goy cooked when there was no chola lefanim. He didn't cook for the chola. He stam cooked. You have mamish bishlakim. A chola is allowed to eat bishlakim. That's what the Mechaber is really saying over there. That for a chola, even when you have a chetz of bishul akum, the chola is allowed to eat bishul akum. And the raya is that he's allowed to eat bishul akum is that the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chavtes says tzorchi chola nasna yider amay b'Shabbos. They can have a guy cook for a chola on Shabbos. So how could you have a guy cook for a chola on Shabbos if a chola is not allowed to eat bishul akum? Elamai must be that a chola is allowed to eat bishul akum. In any context. According to the Ra'ah, it's not a Raya B'chlav. Because according to the Ra'ah, no, a guy is allowed to cook for a chola on Shabbos because it's not Bishul Akum. There's a hacker in Mele, it's not Bishul Akum. It's all about chasen, it's all about the relationship. There's a hacker, there's no special enjoyment from that food because he has no other option. And therefore, it's not Bishul Akum B'chlav. So that's why... That's why the Nachri is allowed to cook for the Chol on Shabbos. But to take food that the Nachri cooked, that Mamash is Bishul Akum, the Ra'ah would never allow that. So how could the Ramah paskin like the Ra'ah over here in Yeridaya? And yet in Or HaChaim, he's Shosek, he doesn't say a word when the Mechaber paskins against the Ra'ah. It's an interesting harm.
Why can't you hold up both?
So I was bothered, that's what he answers, but I was bothered by that. Meaning he says that the Ramah's maker like the Shita of the Ra'ah and also like the Shita of the Rash. But why? Because Safik Bishul Akum Lekula. So when it comes to... So it goes Lekula in both directions, right? So when it comes to the Shaila of whether you can eat on Motzei Shabbos from that which the Nachri cooked for the Chola on Shabbos, you go Lekula like the Ra'ah. When it comes to the Shaila of whether you can take Bishul Akum from Tuesday and eat it and have the Chola eat it, that a chola is going to be allowed to eat the bishul akum from any other day, so we'll be making like the Shita of the Rashba, that it's okay for a chola to have bishul akum, that there's no issur for a chola to have bishul akum. I was just a little bothered by that, because generally, even though we say Safik Rabbanu Lekula, we try not to have a Safik Rabbanu Lekula that's Sasri Adati.
Why are they mutually exclusive?
Because it's about a fundamental issue. Right? When a guy cooks on Shabbos, is it Bishul Akum?
But the Ramah wouldn't let you eat the Shin Chav Ches one on Motzai Shabbos. He's talking about on Shabbos itself. So maybe...
No.
Cool for...
No, no. In Shin Chav Ches, what the Mechaber says is that any day of the week, a Chol HaShem Pesach Kana can eat the Shalakim. The Raya is that Tzar Chichola is Nasa Al Yidei Akum on Shabbos. But any day of the week, there's just no Isra B'Shalakim for a Chola. Whereas the Ra'ah is going to say, yes, there is. The only reason we're making on Shabbos is because it's not B'Shalakim. I mean, in Misvara, it's taking two sides of the issue. So that seems to be problematic. Right, that's like, you know, the sugya about Hesed, the Ran in the end of Pesachim. The Gemara says Kuf Ches, that Itmar Mishrei Dera Nachman Shrei Kasi Kamayi Ba Yaseva, Itmar Mishrei Dera Nachman Shrei Kasi Vasra Yaseva, Hashalim Hilchsa Lo Kamar Lo Kamar, Idi Vidi Ba Yaseva. You need to do a Seva on all four. So the Ran has the Kasha, and it says, so it's Rabban Lukulam. So he says, yeah, but you can't have a Seva. So one answer is that if it's easy, then you might as well be Machmir. But the other answer is, you're going to be making both directions, then you're going to end up doing the wrong thing. And you're not supposed to do the wrong thing. I mean, you're not supposed to put yourself in a position where you're going to be making, you know, with something that's going to be close to each other. Now, over there, it's about being ochre entirely, but still, the rule is that we don't do something that's going to be when they're close to each other, right? It's a kofiyud. It's a kofiyud issue. Okay, but we'll leave it at that. I got to run to my son's Siyum in Eretz Yisrael. And then tomorrow we'll pick up Gvina Sakum. So we're going to skip Cholav Akum. So and Gvina and Chema. There are three topics in Kuf Tes Vav. So Bezhem will pick up with Kuf Tes Vav tomorrow. Okay, everyone have a great day.